Good morning, everybody. And as we come here to celebrate our Lord together with the other churches in our partnership, and we wish a very warm welcome to those listening at home. For those of you listening at home, the service is being led by Jeff, who is also playing the organ. Our reader this morning is Jean Batten, and Wally Knight is leading us in our prayers for intercession. As we've noticed in the weekly news, we had quite a lot of fun at tea and chat on Tuesday. It was a bit cramped, but we managed. We celebrated Jenny's 90th birthday. I was quite pleased because that was the actual day of her birthday. And I hope, Jenny, that you celebrated with your family and enjoyed yourself. I have no announcements other than that's in the weekly news, but please make a note in your diaries of all the events that are coming up in the next few months. There really are quite a lot of them, and they should be quite exciting, and so put them in your diary and come along if you can. I have this on the lectern. I presume that is to remind you that this is the last day for our envelopes for Christian Aid. So if you want to fill one in, just put it...
They can bring them in the next few weeks as well.
Oh, can they? Oh, you're not being banking to June. All right, okay. So I will now light the Christ candle and the peace candle, and then we'll have a moment of quietness to prepare our thoughts for worship.
Not quite the one-man show today. We've got other people doing things, I'm pleased to say. It's good to be with you. Voice has gone already, you see. We have just a moment remembering God's presence with us now. Let us be still. We've come together here today to sing our praises, to offer our prayers, to listen to God's holy word, and to try and discern its message for us when we leave this place and go out to live our lives as followers in the way of our risen Lord and Saviour. Amen. First hymn, all the hymns from Rejoice and Sing today, is Thanks to God, number 319, and we will be leaving out verse 2. So we come to God in prayer. Let us pray. All-powerful and all-loving God, we gather here today to worship you and to give thanks for the gift of your Holy Spirit. We come remembering your ancient promise to send your Spirit upon all your people of all times. And we come remembering that first Pentecost, when your Spirit was given to the apostles, renewing their faith and transforming their lives and the lives of those around them. Loving God, Spirit of truth, come now once more into our lives and reveal to us the ways of Jesus. Come and fill us with deeper faith and greater love. Give us the gifts we need to work for your kingdom. Inspire us with new vision and new purpose. And breathe your Holy Spirit into our lives. And Lord, having given our thanks, we come now and ask that you will hear us and forgive us for those things that we have said or done or failed to say or do, which have hurt others and in so doing have hurt you. We know, Lord, there are also times when we have failed to act at the right moment, we've turned away. There are personal things which concern us, and we want to hear your words of forgiveness. We do this in a time of quiet. You promise, Lord, that if we are truly sorry, you will forgive us our sins. Thanks be to God. Amen. O Almighty and loving God, open our hearts and minds and souls to your Spirit. Equip us to live as your people, not just this day, but every day, so that our lives may reflect your glory and proclaim your love. Holy Spirit, move within us, we pray, to the glory of your name. Amen. And we join in the traditional words of the Lord's Prayer as together we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We now take up our offering for the work of this church, in this place, and in the world. Just before the choir sing the anthem, Robert asked me to highlight what's already in weekly news regarding the selection of our new amnesty prisoners. And you'll see that this relates to the Thai authorities going and arresting children and young people who are actually exercising a peaceful demonstration in respect of all sorts of different things. Among the 283 children that have been targeted within these criminal proceedings, the authorities have sentenced LGBTI campaigners and Indigenous land rights activists and a youth activist who was protesting just because they were actually under 18 years of age. This all came about, and it's all written on the A4 double-sided sheet, which you can take away with you. There are copies on the small lectern in the prayer corner. It started in 2020. Young people, including university and secondary school students under 18, started a wave of peaceful protests in Thailand. They were seeking a democratic reform. They wanted constitutional change, an end to official depression of government critics. They wanted improved education, school safety, and they also campaigned for the rights of women, Indigenous people, LGBTI people, and ethnic minorities. And it says in this document that street protests featured parties, debates, flash mobs, sit-ins, live theatre and music, fashion shows and art. But the Thai authorities have sought to crack down on what is nothing more than peaceful protests, and they've initiated criminal proceedings and civil proceedings against, as I said just now, at least 283 children for peacefully exercising their rights. When you think of all the marches and the protests that are going on in this country, and the fact that we accept the right for people to protest peacefully, you can see the difference, I'm sure. So I'm now going to ask Anne if she will kindly light the amnesty candle for us to represent all those prisoners of conscience and who are suffering oppression. Also to remember the work of Amnesty International and all it seeks to do to alleviate injustice in our world. Remember that in the darkest night, a single candle flame can lead the way. The choir are going to sing a Pentecost anthem, probably one which, if you've been around in church circles for many years, you'll know. It's Come Holy Ghost, Our Souls Inspire. And the music here on this occasion, these words are set by Thomas Attwood. And after the choir have sung the anthem, Jean will share the Bible reading with us.
The reading is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, reading from verses 1 to 21, and that can be found on page 115 of the New Testament section. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be God declares that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
We sing the hymn 294, the traditional Pentecost hymn, "Come Down, O Love Divine."
Thank you. Let us pray. Lord, bless the words I speak and the hearts and minds of all who hear, so that we might together understand what you could be saying to us today. Amen. I don't know about you, but for quite a while now, Liz and I have taken to having to put the subtitles on for most of the TV programmes that we watch, because the people aren't speaking so clearly, in our opinion, as they once did. And no, before you say anything else, we're not that hard of hearing. A lot of folk do seem to mumble to me on the telly these days, and a lot of public speakers seem to mumble too. And others, some of these actors, they whisper, in my opinion. You must also have said something like this at times: what is he talking about, when listening to perhaps, dare I say, a preacher or a politician? Or, I can't understand where he's coming from, to be honest. And I know I am very, very guilty at times of saying things like, a person is talking a load of gobbledygook, that I've never heard such a load of rubbish in my life. Not one word they're saying seems to make any sense at all to me. So what can we deduce from what I've just said? Well, that language is extremely important. The spoken word really, really matters. It's one of the major means of our communication, after all. And it is amongst almost the entire animal kingdom too, if you think about it. We paint pictures with words, don't we? We can speak the language of love, or indeed of hate, through the words we use. Language is an extremely powerful medium. Well, today, as we've already been reminded a number of times, is Pentecost Sunday, and our Bible reading tells that story of the Holy Spirit descending on the disciples and others that were gathered together in Jerusalem. And this gathering took place 50 days after Christ's resurrection and 10 days after his ascension. But you know, long before Jesus was on the scene, people had been coming to Jerusalem for Pentecost. It was a Jewish festival and it meant Feast of Weeks. And actually, it did go on a long time, up to 5 weeks, actually. It was one of three great major Jewish festivals of thanksgiving for the harvested crops, held over 50 days of the Jewish Passover. And as I say, most of us will know that familiar story in Acts very well. In essence, for us, it marks the founding of the Christian faith. The entire book of Acts, if you read it, gives us an account of both the birth and the growth of the early church. It's the connecting link, really, between the life of Jesus and the life of the church. But we can see in those verses we heard, or some of them, that it did appear, in one sense, to get off to a pretty shaky start, didn't it? Whilst many, it said, were amazed, others were bewildered, because apart from the rushing of violent winds and the appearance of tongues of fire, everyone could suddenly understand one another through what is determined to be a common language. Before this event, and afterwards, of course, there were different dialects rooted in the Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic languages uttered, because people had come from so many different tribes and communities. They had their own particular ways and styles of the words they used in a peculiar sort of way to the others. And that's still the case today, isn't it? You've only got to think of somebody speaking Cornish or Glaswegian, dare I say. Welsh, of course, another language in its own right. And then, of course, there's Broad Wiltshire, isn't there? You know, when you say things like cuss and see as well as he cuss, cast. Which is a Wiltshire expression, and anyone who doesn't know it, ask me afterwards, or ask a good old Wiltshire person. But now, you know, through the presence of a God-centred gift, which came upon each of those people gathered there on that day, they felt the presence through the gift of one language. As I said, it didn't all go well because there were others who were perplexed, who were confused, and who argued that those affected had all been having one over the eight. They were induced in some sort of stupor, and they laughed and ridiculed these people for that. Peter, good old Peter, of course, he seeks to put things in perspective, as we heard. But what I really want to say, and what I want us to think about very briefly here this morning, is how we can interpret Pentecost today, in the here and now. How do we do that? You see, I've said it a number of times before in different ways, but I do think, as Christians, we sometimes run the risk of seeing our faith a bit too pink and fluffy, if you know what I mean. You know, the cotton wool Christ. That type of thing. But it's not, of course, a faith like that. Jesus shows us, those first converts show us, that his message was often rejected and ridiculed and misunderstood. The good news to me, friends, is that this story in a topsy-turvy world means that we've still got good reason to believe in Christ and in his message, that we shouldn't be disheartened or feel defeated. Why? Well, because working in us and through us is the Spirit of God as revealed in Jesus. And we may not always feel it, we may not always recognize it. That's perhaps because it's often there, hidden in plain sight. We can't define the Holy Spirit in some sort of arithmetical or scientific formula. But amidst our doubts and anxieties, amidst our insecure feelings about ourselves, about our faith, about the future, and so much more, I do believe that Pentecost can renew our hearts, renew our minds, our actions. I believe the world needs a Pentecost. A regular reminder of what Pentecost did to create our Christian faith and what it's capable of for the world. Pentecost, you see, to me, in simple terms, shows that the barriers which divide or which create misunderstandings are broken down if there is a common language we all speak. And what is that language? Well, you know what's coming. It's the language of love. It's the language of kindness and caring. particularly the language of understanding from the other person's point of view. We're not always right, and everyone else is always wrong. We need to tell Vladimir Putin and a few others that, I think. It's also the language of oneness in seeking to bring about the people of God through the Spirit of God. Our common humanity is there, hidden often under the cloak of hatred and power, of building empires, instead of seeking to bring about the kingdom of God, where peace and justice and love should prevail. Am I really talking pipe dreams, though, in what I've just said? Do I truly believe in these things? Do I truly believe that good things can be possible? Well, if I didn't believe, if I'm negative and just accept the state this world of ours seems to be in at this present moment, then I may as well give up, walk away from this pulpit, give in and go home. Throughout history, we have seen how so often good can actually triumph over evil, haven't we? I mean, coming into present day, we've seen through COVID, through the terrible acts of war going on as we speak. We've seen through fires and floods and areas where there's disease and hunger, tremendous acts of sacrifice and dedication and love. We've seen all this and more, people trying to make the lives of others worth living. One way, of course, in which you can support some of these activities, it's already been said, is through Christian Aid. And Lindsay's kindly said she's leaving her bank open for another 4 weeks. So if you haven't given, they're in the pew, these envelopes. And if you're a UK taxpayer, please, please, please dedicate the amount you give through to Gift Aid, because it's 25% for nothing, frankly. So if you all today give £100 each, just think how much that will work out in added tax and gift aid. You know, not all the millions of health workers support workers and charity workers are Christians. They're just ordinary people. Some of them are people of other faith. But I do believe that the Holy Spirit of God is dwelling within them, working within them, driving them on to help alleviate suffering, to bring relief and show love in what can seem to be a loveless situation. They may not even know or understand what we're talking about through the power of the Holy Spirit, but I just think it's an energy. The Holy Spirit of Pentecost is the divine agent, really, which God uses to spur us on. It's that part of our being, isn't it, that directs our emotions and our character and the way that we choose to live. And you see, without that presence, seen or unseen, known or unknown, we are, in my opinion, looking at those people who live life for themselves and care nothing for others. In some obscure way, the Holy Spirit has been blocked out from their mind and their life, and it cannot enter. But there's still hope, because we have to hold on to that. The Holy Spirit connects us, not only at times of joy, but also in struggles, heartaches, fears, and all sorts of other situations we face. So there you have something of my views on the effects of the Pentecost experience. No doubt you could go on sharing stories of your own and other folks' experiences and understanding of faith through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let me end by just saying this. God was revealed by a pretty unusual means to those believers at Pentecost. But there were other stories that we've known and been read to us from the Bible in the past, which are just as unexpected. Burning bushes was one that came to my mind. Still small voice. Sound of silence. There's many more. But there are examples that show me that there's no one way to experience God's presence. Life would be much easier if that was so, of course. God is not limited to one race of people, or one moment in time, or one way of being. In this building, stop and think, every week people enter who speak different languages. Some of you here today no longer speak your native tongue in the norm. I know that. Worshipping here earlier and later on today will be our Romanian church and our Nepalese friends. They will speak and pray and sing to God in words that to us we don't quite understand. But the common language is obvious. That's the Holy Spirit. On our premises throughout the week, others will enter for whom English is a second language. We won't meet them all. But you know what? There's one thing that we can do. In the spirit, as you might say, we can pray that those who come through these premises, or even come into our homes, some people, will feel that this church, our home, speaks the language of welcome, of love, and all that's good. And please God, may that become true for our world as well. Amen. Before Wally leads us in our prayers of intercession, we're going to sing our next hymn, Rejoice and Sing, 301.
Just before I come to the serious part of the prayers, I just thought you might like to hear this very short, I thought quite funny story. After our beloved dog Ben died, my four-year-old grandson George asked where he was. "He's gone to Jesus, darling," I replied. "Hasn't he got a dog then?" asked George. Our prayers of intercession for today. Dear Lord, we come to you in prayer with many things on our minds. Please help us to focus on you now. We pray first of all for peace, especially among nations that are at war. We think not only of Ukraine, Israel and Gaza, but also of the many other places where there is strife and about which we do not hear so often. May every peacemaker be blessed with real success. And we ask that we too can be peacemakers within our families and further afield. We pray too for our beautiful world that you gave us, that we may do our best to look after it and treasure its many resources. May we try hard to reduce, reuse, and recycle as much as we can. And now we pray for all our churches, including, of course, the Old Town Partnership. May the church be unified and do all it can do to put their message out there and be a real hub for the community that it serves. May it also strive to be a good communicator of the truth when we hear so much about fake news and distortion. We pray that your helper, the Holy Spirit, would really help us in that. We think now of all who are ill, may it be mentally or physically, in our church, families and neighbourhoods. We pray for strength and healing for them, as well as for your comforting presence. Let us take a few moments to do this now. Finally, we thank you for all the blessings in our lives. May we always remember that no matter what happens, you are still in charge. We say these prayers in your dear Son's precious name. Amen.
Just before we sing our final hymn, can I thank everyone who's helped me today in various ways with Bible reading, prayers, blessings and all sorts of things. It means a lot. It means I'm not rushing around quite so much. So thank you for that. And now let's enjoy singing this wonderful tune, Abbot's Lee, to the hymn 530, Living God, Your Joyful Spirit Breaks the Bounds of Time and Space. And we leave out verse 2.
Living God, lead us out into the world, renewed in vigour, in hope, and in faith, and in purpose. Send us back to live and work for you, sharing your love and ready for the challenges which face us. We do all this in the power and presence of your renewing Holy Spirit. Amen.